an aging. I think it's referring to me. Thank you all for coming. I want you to know that this is the first time I've chaired a committee, and so any constructive ideas of how we can do it better, fairer, or anything that you have in mind, I'm open to. Our first business will be roll call.
Representative Howard.
Here.
Representative Smith.
Here.
Representative Bangarter.
Here.
Representative Fitzpatrick.
Here.
Representative Fury.
Here.
Representative Goldman Hill.
Here.
Representative Hunter.
Here.
Representative Ingraham.
Here.
Representative Kennedy.
Here.
Representative Moore.
Here.
Representative Newton.
Here.
Representative Keys Lopez.
Here.
Representative Reed.
Here.
Representative Scadden.
Here.
Representative Yates.
Here.
Did I say anyone's name incorrectly?
Good enough.
Thank you. Next order of business is our seating placement. After today's meeting, you can pretty much sit where you want. We had to start off with something. Also, we have a big room, so we can move down a little bit and have a little more room, or whatever you'd like to do on that. Who is going to be the on the Democrat side? Who is going to be the one that handles proxies and that type of stuff?
That would be me.
Okay. If you don't mind, I'd like you to sit up here.
Okay.
If that'd be cool. Okay. Sorry to move you, Mr. Fury.
Just when we got the head of the class.
The next thing I'd like to do is introduction of members. And I'd like to start here on my left with Mr. Kerry Smith. And if you'd introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background about yourself, that would be appreciated.
Thank you. I'm Representative Kerry Smith from Billings, Montana, House District 55. It's the west side of Billings. I'm in my second session here. I served on the Health and Human Services Committee last time. It's good to see, I think, about six of us are back from the committee last time, seven counting Sue. So it's kind of like getting back with old friends again. This is going to be an interesting committee. I think we got a lot of Health and Human Services stuff to talk about this time.
I'm Representative Pat Ingraham. This is my third term, and this is my third time in the Health and Human Services Committee. I'm from the northwest part of Montana and from the town of Thompson Falls in the county of Sanders. And prior to coming here, I was the Sanders County Clerk and Recorder and Election Administrator, and I had served in local government for almost 18 years. And in that time, I oversaw budgets for Health and Human Services and the like, but I never was actually making the laws for it, just the money.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ellie Hill. I represent House District 94, which is right downtown Missoula, Montana. I live in the historic Wilma Theater on the banks of the Clark Fork. I'm filling former Representative Dave McAlpin's seat. I came to you today because my father's a lifelong union worker. I went to 12 years of Catholic school, graduated from Boise State in 97 and the University of College of Law in 01, where I clerked for the Nez Perce Tribe and then later served as a deputy prosecuting attorney in Boise. 5 years ago, I took a job in Missoula as the executive director of the Pavarella Center, and I'm best known that we run the state's largest homeless shelter, so I'm a pretty big advocate for the mentally ill, for veterans issues, for the elderly, the impoverished, and the food insecure. I'm really pleased to be here today.
Hi, I'm Dan Kennedy. I was born and raised in Billings. I live in Laurel. I represent District 57. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, business owner, employer, Montana taxpayer, and I just... felt that America's blessed me really well, so I thought I should do something to give back, and so that's why I put my name in to get elected. I look forward to serving with all you guys.
Dan Scadden from Livingston. My wife and I, 29 years. We have three kids. We have five grandkids, and our youngest is currently serving Air Force, U.S. Air Force in the Middle East.
I'm Max Yates from Butte. Been married for 28 years. Got three children, three grandchildren. I'm a freshman, so I'm trying to learn. Look forward to working with y'all.
My name's Representative Pat Noonan out of Butte, Silver Bow County. This is my second term and my second time on Health and Human Services. I have two kids, two daughters, Hope and Haley, 3 and 1.5. And I'm excited to be here, and my whole adult career has been working in human services, so I like to think I knew something about this before I got here. So.
Joe Reed out of Ronan, House District 15, which goes from Arley to Hart Butte. I was born and raised in Ronan, and I've moved 1,000 feet. It's time I repaid what the state has given me. I'm a product of Oak Rehab. If anybody has an issue with it, I will defend that program pretty staunchly. So, thank you.
My name is Carolyn Pease Lopez, and the other day people were telling how many generations they've been in Montana, but I won't go there.
Like river, huh?
Well, maybe we did move around a little.
That's fantastic.
But right now I have a dual residence, but both within my same district. House District 42, which is a great share of Bighorn County and a little piece of Yellowstone County. I have 5 children. I've been married a long time, almost 38 years, and 15 grandchildren, 1 great-granddaughter, and my husband and I pastor a little Baptist church in Lodgegrass. And but my husband is also a geologist, and in my before we got full-time ministry, I worked in higher ed for years. Thank you.
Representative Michael Moore from House District 70, which is the west edge of Gallatin County, from Four Corners down to West Yellowstone. I, like Representative Noonan and Representative Smith, also served in the Health and Human Services Committee in the last session, and looking forward to dealing with the many challenges that come up. There are a lot of heartfelt issues, and hopefully we can attend to the needs of the public of Montana in a judicious but also a civil, respectful, and heartfelt way to deal with the many needs that come before the committee. So I'd like to say I'm thankful to be here, but I know it's going to be very challenging, very daunting, a lot of the work that we'll do. So. It's a tough committee, and it's an honor to be here, I think, ultimately, because of the challenges that we have to face dealing with the public issues. So we'll see what we can do.
Hi, my name is Steve Fitzpatrick. I represent House District 20, which is the southeast side of Great Falls. In my spare time, I work as a lawyer. Mostly what I do practice is civil litigation, a lot of insurance issues I handle. I'm married, and I have a daughter who's 3 years old.
I'm Chuck Hunter. This is my second term in this committee. Looking forward to serving here. Let's see, I'm from Helena here, House District 79. I'm a retired state employee, spent 22 years with Montana state government. 10 of those in the Department of Public Health and Human Services. So in that time, I ran the child welfare system and kind of the lion's share of what you'd think of Medicaid, particularly the primary acute care side of health care. Let's see. I've got 4 kids. I've got a chef. I've got a daughter who's working in Butte at the community health center there. I've got a son at the College of Technology here in Helena, and I've got one still at home. So nice to have one child at least still around the house. Looking forward to serving here again.
I'm Liz Bangeter. I'm from House District 80, which is here in Helena. It's kind of a long, skinny strip right through the heart of Helena out into the valley. My husband and I have been married 17 years. We have 3 teenage daughters. There are a lot of hormones in my house. I'm happy to be here in a little bit more neutral environment.
Good morning, Representative Tim Fury, and I serve House District 91, which is the east part of Missoula County, mostly rural area. We have four rivers that go through it, so I kind of claim that I'm from the Four Rivers District. This is my second time on the Human Services Committee, but my second and a half term as a legislator. I took over for my son, who was the representative for two terms for House District 91. Then he got called back to active duty. So I'm trying to fill his shoes, and it's a tough one. I work for not-for-profit Opportunity Resources. We serve 520 different individuals, primarily with developmental disabilities. We also manage 22 case managers for the state. We have a contract with the state. So some of your communities, we have case managers there. We're in nine different communities in central and western Montana. I've always worked for not-for-profits. Most of the time I've started them. I've started five different not-for-profits, almost all of them for people with disabilities. I'm a disabled vet, so I have a lot of passion for folks with disabilities. I've worked at Easter Seals. I was an executive director at Camp Make a Dream. And I have three boys and a great wife. She's a special ed teacher, so it's all in the family. My son Kevin now was just recently sworn in at the State Department. He is now a Foreign Service diplomat, and he's also a lieutenant in the Army. Brian works at Rivertop. It was mentioned yesterday. It's a research company that's trying to develop green chemicals in Missoula. It's a new startup. And then Thomas is over in Beijing, China, learning Chinese. So they're all over the place. So I'll echo what Mike said. This, I thought, would be my favorite committee last term, and it was my worst committee. And not what I mean is that you will hear so many heartfelt stories, and we just come to realize we can't serve everybody. So then we have to make choices. And I think the only harder committee would probably be the Subcommittee on Health and Human Services and Appropriations, where they actually decide how it gets funded. But I'm welcome to any questions if people want to know about not-for-profits or fundraising. That's primarily what I'm doing now. So thank you.
My name is Miranda Keister. I'm from White Sulphur. I've been a teacher for the past 9 years. This year I decided to try something different, and I'm going back to get my doctorate in education. And in the meantime, I decided that I would come here, and I'm very happy to be here.
I'm Sue O'Connell. I'm a research analyst with the Legislative Services Division and staffing this committee for the third session. Chairman Howard has given me permission to pass out a little letter that you may have received from other staffers if you've been at other organizational meetings. But this yellow sheet of paper outlines for you what I do as your committee staffer in terms of amendments, in terms of answering your questions about bills, assisting you with drafts, and providing information during executive session or whenever you might need it. My phone number and my office are listed at the bottom, and I'm here to help you at any time that you have questions.
Thank you all. I'm Representative Dave Howard. In 1967, I was drafted in the Army during the Vietnam conflict and had some interesting experiences. Then I went into the FBI and became an FBI agent. And in 1980, I became the chief of law enforcement for the Bureau of Land Management in California. On that, during that 6 years, I worked on the campaign against marijuana planting as the operations chief, which was an interesting process. Then I went to work for PG&E, which is a major electric company, and I was in charge. I was a supervisor in charge of all their internal investigations. And then I went out and started my own business and investigations. And 8 years later, I was very blessed because somebody bought it. Then I started a A&E Group's business, which I did. In the first 4 or 5 years, it was not for profit, but then eventually did become. We moved back to Montana about 7 years ago. My grandma was born around Hyde Park, my dad. We used to, then during World War II, he moved down to Long Beach, and he was a master machinist through the World War II. And so
here we are in wonderful Montana, and I, like Dan, I felt compelled to serve and try to help Montana the best we could, and I think all of us are in that light. I want to thank each and every one of you, and also put out again that I am new at this. Anything that you see or hear or want to change or have an idea, I implore you to come to me, and let's seriously consider this, because I want this to run smoothly and extremely fairly. And thank you very, very much. You've all had the list of emails that's passed around. On snacks, anybody have any ideas of the kinds of snacks that we should have? I don't know if any of you have served in Law and Justice last session, but Stoker loved donuts. And I can tell you that he made anyone that their cell phone went off buy donuts. And I gained about 10 pounds, so it was obvious that I ate too many donuts. So my idea was is that we would maybe appoint a couple of people to think about the snacks and get to Miranda, and also maybe collect maybe $5 a piece today so that on Monday we can have the snacks. Is any discussion on that? Any thoughts?
Fruit.
That's a good idea.
We had a nice balance last term, I thought, with fruit and nuts and pretzels and sweets. I think we kind of went all over the place. It was pretty good.
Well, the nut part described most of us on this committee. So it was a tough committee. It was. So any volunteers that would like to kind of put together some thoughts like that? Dan and who else? I have to have equal representation. Liz? Okay, all right there. Okay, and then you can kind of get together and share that with Miranda.
Who did you want us to give the money to?
Let's give it to Miranda. She's the money bearer. And you can just do that before we leave today. Okay. Next subject is, you know, there's a go ahead, Liz.
I'm just thinking about my good friend. We probably should avoid the whole nut thing because of severe allergies. Just I don't know. Not that that is critical to maybe anybody in this room, but if somebody comes into the room, I know I have a friend that has a child with severe, you know, just coming into a room would set off an allergic reaction. So we'll probably avoid the nut thing.
Well, normally the treats would be for just us on the committee.
Correct.
Yeah. So
peanuts, yeah. If there were peanuts in the room and somebody came in to testify that was allergic, it could be a
very
concern.
Good idea. Okay. Is that all with the treat aspect? One of the most important things we'll do here early on. As you know, the House rules on proxies is being discussed. I thought that we would put off to us to vote on how we want to do proxies till after the House settled on the rules, and I think that's going to be done today. I'd like Representative Moore to speak to that, just to kind of outline what the proposal is.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that as you've probably heard mentioned a couple times now, that the goal with regard to the House rules is for the House body to mimic the position of the Senate in regard to proxy voting in committee, such that each committee will be able to decide by majority vote, excuse me, whether proxy votes will be allowed in committee when a member has to be out due to conflicting legislative business. So that is a decision that we will take up here. We should have second reading on the bill today on the House floor, and can bring out all of the nuances of what the implications are. But it basically comes down to the fact that the committees decide for themselves whether indeed they will allow proxy voting if a member has to be absent because of a conflict, another legislative conflict. The question has come up time and again, what happens in the event of illness, what happens in the event of some personal emergency and you need to be away. There is provision within the rules to communicate with the committee by way of telephone or electronic device if that is the case, if somebody's out on extended illness or can't be present. So basically, the whole goal is for each committee to be self-policing in the way that we conduct our affairs, so there's not abuse of the possibility of voting by proxy. That's the intent, and also, as I say, to mimic what's going on in the Senate. So it's just the goal is simply that we each treat this endeavor with the utmost maturity and not abuse the privilege of serving in the legislature, and that we would vote on the issues as they come to hand, and not be out on personal leave avoiding having somebody else vote our position without us. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Michael. Representative Moore. I'll just share with you my feelings on that, and we'll all obviously put it to a vote and discussion. But I believe that if there's a legitimate reason for you to be gone, I mean, if you're sick or a family problem, something like that, or you're testifying or something like that, that you should be able to utilize a proxy. Now, if there's a dog racing place here locally and you love to go dog racing, there's a conflict with this committee, I think that's another process. So anyway, on that, I'll ask Sue O'Connell to discuss our general rules and amendments and transmittals and that type of stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Passing out a blue sheet of paper that you also may have seen in other committees, it's just sort of the general outline of how the committee will operate in terms of the public hearings, what the schedule of testimony is in terms of who presents when it's appropriate for committee members to be asking questions, and then sort of general issues of decorum that the chairman will be in charge of. And then at the bottom of that page, it talks about executive session and how executive action is limited to committee members unless without objection somebody on the committee wants to ask an audience member a question. If everybody agrees, sometimes audience members are allowed to answer questions that may come up during executive action. But executive action is the time where the committee discusses and takes action on the bill, and it's generally limited to committee members. This sheet of paper says usually executive action is not held on the same day as the bill is heard unless it's a very simple, non-controversial bill and the committee is in agreement that the executive action is appropriate. And one of the reasons for a delay in executive action involves amendments, which is the second sheet of paper I'm going to hand out to you. And it's the procedure that staff always prefers for committees to follow when it comes to amendments. And that's that amendments that the committee acts on have to have been drafted by legislative staff and edited. If a lobbyist hands you an amendment right before executive action and wants you to submit it, I would advise the committee against adopting the amendment until staff has had a chance to review it, put it in the proper format, make sure there are no conflicts with other laws or other changes that have to be made that maybe weren't caught in the original drafting of the amendment. And so towards that end, we ask that if you have amendments to a bill, or if a lobbyist is asking you to submit an amendment, that you get it to staff at least 24 hours ahead of when executive action is scheduled, and that will give us enough time to do a good job in drafting the amendment. What we want to avoid is having the committee quickly act on an amendment that hasn't been well vetted, and then you're going to need another amendment down the road to correct some problem that wasn't foreseen with the original amendment. So this green sheet of paper is just the way we like to proceed with amendments. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Kind of going through this really quickly. The third sheet of paper I'm giving you, I put on pink because of all the sheets of paper, I'm thinking that perhaps it's the one you will want to hold on to and refer to throughout this process. And it includes deadlines, both for various transmittal deadlines for different types of bills, and on the back, the deadlines for requesting different types of bills. And so these are really important deadlines for you to be aware of. If you're thinking of asking for more legislation, the deadline for general bills that don't contain any spending provisions or that don't raise or decrease revenue is coming up quite quickly on January 17th. If you don't have a request for one of those types of bills in by then, you can't ask for it after that. Revenue bills have a little bit longer time. Committee bills, there will be times when the committee hears an issue and there's no bill that specifically addresses it and you'd like the committee to actually draft a bill under the committee's name. Those bills have until the 36th legislative day, which is February 14th. So a little longer there in case issues arise as you start hearing bills. Interim study resolutions really have quite a long transmittal deadline or request deadline. They don't have to be requested until the 75th day. And again, there may be issues that you become aware of as a committee and that you as a member may think need further study and you'd like it to be looked at between this session and next session, and you have time to request bills on those. On the front of the page for the transmittal deadlines, there's the actual date of transmittal, which is you'll see for general bills, again, those that do not spend money or raise or decrease revenue. That deadline is the 45th legislative day, which is February 24th. And I think everybody sort of gets that date stuck in their heads, and they know they have to have all those bills passed out of the House by then. But what you sometimes forget is that the committee stops acting on those bills about 3 or 4 days in advance, and then you're just in full-day floor sessions to get those bills done. So the last time for the committee to act is really probably February 18th on those bills. And so as we work on our workflow, Representative Howard's going to be working very hard to make sure we don't have a stack of bills at the very end and you're not here till late at night making decisions with very short hearings. That's the goal in trying to meet all these deadlines and knowing in advance what the deadlines are. And just a related note to that, if you have bills that are on hold, especially if they are general bills, or if you have bills that people are waiting for information on and they are general bills, they still need to make that deadline. And we as drafters advise you, if they're not off our desk by February 14th, there's very little chance that they will make it through the rest of the process by the 45th day. So please keep that in mind as drafters contact you about bills. They're not trying to be annoying. They're trying to make sure that the work you want to get done here has an opportunity to be done. Any questions?
I have a question, Sue. And maybe Representative Moore can help us on that, too. There was a rule change that we'll be voting on referendums. And so we would need to have that listed on there and updated.
Thank you, Representative Smith. That is correct. And I believe, is it the 75th day or 70th day? It is quite late for referendums, and I did not add that.
I don't have it with me.
I don't either.
I think that's what it was,
is,
too. Yeah.
It is fairly late in the session. So thank you.
67, same day as any other discussion or ideas on that?
They want me to cover the emergency evacuation of our building. They're thinking if we have a fire. Okay. If we have a fire, they want us to all to exit out the front, stand around the statue, and watch it burn to the ground. I wanted to tell you that one of the things that I do in the real world is I do consulting in violence in the workplace. And one of the biggest problems with organizations is they don't have an evacuation process in mind for something if there really was a violence in the workplace. I mean, if we start hearing shooting in the hallway, okay, we're not all going to run out in the hallway. Okay, we're going to exit this and probably through that window or one of them. And so the chance of that happening is so slim. It really is. But it's kind of like teaching your kids how to get out of your house if it burns. If you've taught them, they all get out. You understand? So what I'd like to do is have a couple of volunteers and check these windows and see how we can open them up and then realize that if that happens, that's how we're heading out of here. And we're going to get as far away from this building as we possibly can. Is there any thoughts on that or discussion? And any volunteers to be able to, maybe Steve, because you're a tall guy and you can reach high, and maybe you, Pat. and maybe after the meeting, see how you open those windows and see how you can get out. It's just one of those things that you just want to know. I mean, and I hope and pray we never have to even think about something like that, because that will be tremendously tragic if it does.
No, this would open the window here.
It may.
Fire would too.
That's right. Any other discussion today? We're moving right along.
Mr.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the way you do the volunteering.
Thank you, Dan. I'm Representative Kennedy. Any thoughts or comments till we close?
Can I pass this out?
Yes. All right.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, some of you may have heard already. I don't know if they announced it in the joint subcommittee yesterday, but on Monday morning, speakers from the National Conference of State Legislators will be here, legislatures will be here to discuss the federal health care reform bill, the efforts that are going on in states to carry it out, and also to prohibit some activities. They're going to talk about all aspects of the law, what is ahead for Montana and other states, and what states are doing in many respects. And so I have an agenda that's been prepared for that. I'm sorry, but when I copied it, the date and time did not show up very well at the top, but it is Monday at 8 a.m. in room 102. And I know many of you have other committee commitments and wouldn't be able to make it, but if you felt it was important and wanted to skip a committee meeting if there wasn't a vote you had to take, perhaps you would want to attend this, and I wanted you to have the information.
One other thing, Representative Smith,
yes.
About the proxies.
Yes.
Did you want to say something about that?
I'm assuming we'll come up with some kind of a proxy handling, so I'd like to pass out for the Republicans anyway the proxy sheet, and if you would sign it and return it to me, I would appreciate it. And I keep thinking that because some of us have been here, that everybody knows what's going on. Just to explain what a proxy means.
Yes.
Okay. If you can't be here for a legitimate reason, and we will vote on what a legitimate reason is, then you can allow, in our case, it'll be me to take and do your vote for you. And so this sheet gives me the authority to do that. We'll talk on the bills. We should have talked about them beforehand, so I know how you want me to take and vote on it. And then we're going to have Representative Fury. They'll be doing that for the Democrats. The person they'll be sitting in, Representative Fury, Representative Noonan, will be doing that. And, you know, and those things will happen. Probably the most common thing that's going to happen to us is you'll be presenting a bill somewhere else when we're taking and voting on something. But you will have, there's a good opportunity that you will have heard the bill. You will be aware of it. You'll know what's going on. And so it's just a matter of, you've already kind of made your decision on it. By the time we get somewhere through the executive, we'll discuss it some more. But that's what the proxy is all about.
Representative Moore.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, you know, this whole discussion on proxies is getting, I think it's, as the colloquialism goes, a little wrapped around the axle. The goal is simply that we decide in this committee how we're going to conduct ourselves, and we do so with, you know, the proper perspective maturity with regard to what we have to do here. So it's really not going to be that difficult. We're going to decide as a committee whether we're going to allow proxies or we're not going to allow proxies. Having made that decision and having that decision reflected in the minutes, we will then conduct ourselves accordingly. So it's a pretty straightforward measure, and if we have to come back and revisit the issue later on in the session because we find that somebody's chronically absent, then we can certainly do that. It's really not that, and I'm not, I don't think anybody here is saying as much, but there's just a lot of buzz about it, and it's really not that complicated. So I think we can handle this quite easily, and whenever you are ready, Mr. Chairman, to discuss it and have the vote on whether we're going to handle proxies or not, I think we can probably do so. In some other committees, there are issues, and perhaps in this one, that if you are absent, let's say you hear you are present for the hearing on a particular bill and you get the gist of what's related, but then it comes up as visited later and an amendment is proposed and you're absent for that amendment, that can have some nuances to the bill that may change the entire perspective of how you look at the bill, and in which case then you may want to adopt your position on the bill. That, I think, is probably the biggest issue that will arise that would color how you would communicate with your ranking member on how you're going to vote on that on that particular bill with regard to amendments. So that's something that has to be borne in mind. But as long as there's good communication between the ranking members of each party and the vice chairs and the chairman, this really should not be too difficult. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other comments on proxies at this time? Moving right along, I want you to remind the visitors to always sign in. That's something we should always do. The other thing is cell phones. In the committee, what should we do when a cell phone goes off, and what should be the penalty? Any suggestions?
Well, without breaking a long-standing tradition, I believe if the cell phone goes off, we should continue with the violator providing the donuts or a like treat to remind them that that is not appropriate timing.
Mr. Chairman, in the interest of the committee members' health, I would propose that we also offer an alternative. They can do laps around the building in lieu of donuts.
Some of us might not be able to make it.
That's why the alternative.
Are we all agreed that the offender would buy the committee some sort of treat? All those in favor, would you please say aye?
Aye.
All those against, say no. All right, that was our first vote.
Correct.
Any other comments, and I'll close the meeting? Thank you very, very, oops.
May I say something, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman? Your folders, if you would please put your notebook and your pencils in there when you're done, that would be wonderful. If your pencil needs to be sharpened, you can leave it out, and I'll get that done before the next meeting. Thank you.
Oh, one other thing, anything left out other than a pencil will be thrown away. Is that correct? All right, this meeting is closed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And I need your proxy sheets back now.
Thank you very much.
And I need your proxy sheets back now.
Away. Is that correct? All right, this meeting is closed. Thank you very much.